Thanks for listening. This is a Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. In today's teachings on evangelism, Pastor Will McDowell will be discussing how to be an effective witness through the life we live. Now let's prepare our hearts to receive a word from God today.
For Christ also suffered for you. So guess what? It's going to be some suffering we may have to go through, and we are going to have to go through, leaving us his personal example. Why? So that we should follow his what?
Footsteps.
Stop trying to get out of it, because there's no way out of it. Are you there? What does this message say?
This is the kind of life you've been invited into.
Wait, so we've received a personal invitation from the Lord. Well, do tell, what kind of life have we been invited to? Come and tell me.
The kind of life Christ lived.
Oh. What kind of life did he live? Go.
He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step. That's awesome.
See, some of us didn't get the right altar call. We were told it's going to be easy. Yeah. It's going to be a piece of cake. Everybody going to go to heaven. It's going to be sunshine every day. Come to Jesus. But listen to me. He said, look, this is the life. This is the kind of life you've been invited to. We still inviting you to Christ, but let me tell you what kind of life you've been invited to, the kind that Christ lived. What did he live? He suffered everything that, what?
Came his way.
Guess what? He put up with stuff that wasn't comfortable that came his way so he could show us how to do the same thing. We can't run away from suffering. But the Bible teaches us to endure hardness as a good soldier. There's some things that you're going to just learn how to endure, and it just weathers you. It weathers you. I mean, it's just something about being around and going through something. It just weathers you. It takes the surprise of everything off you. You ever seen somebody on the job for the first day, or maybe somebody in college for the first day? I mean, you just see newness all on them. Just walking around, everything new to them. I mean, they've got newness all over them. But then look at that person that's been in college for a couple of years. I mean, they're walking to their dorm, they're walking to their classes. I mean, undaunted by all the kids and all the people and all the strangeness, because they know what they need to do. Yeah. And I'm just telling you that it's something about going through that's going to weather you. Look at your neighbor and say, "We need to be weathered. You got to be willing to go through something." Don't run from your personal experiences. He suffered everything that came his way so that you may know that it could be done. Amen? Can we go a little bit further? Mm-hmm. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25.
Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?
Thank you so much. Now, there we go again. He's telling us not to worry. He's implying that we have control over what we worry about. Do you see that? Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about anything. Don't fret. Don't you do it. Go to, let me see how that look in the King James, because I remember, is that the verse? Yeah, that's the verse where it says, take no thought. Yeah. I remember that. That was an interesting thing that the Lord showed me back when I first read it back in the King James. In King James 6:25, it says, therefore, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor what you shall drink, or yet for your body what you shall put on. It begins to say, is not your life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Now, it's just telling you to take no thought. Tell your neighbor, take no thought.
Take no thought.
Now, how do you take thought? Because thoughts run through your mind all the time. Matter of fact, someone was sharing with me earlier when I taught this principle, Pastor, I'm so glad you told me that, because every thought that runs through your mind is not yours. Amen. And that's good news for some of us. Yeah. Isn't it, fellas? Oh, yeah. I'm so glad that wasn't my thought. My goodness, I wonder where that thing came from. But sometimes, I mean, thoughts just run through y'all mind. Run through our minds. They're like, wow, where'd that come from? Get out of here. That's not my thought. Ladies, I don't know about y'all mind, but I know about our minds. It's not always about ladies. It's just crazy thoughts. Like, wow, where did that thought come from? That's crazy. But every thought that comes by your mind is not your thought. But the Bible does say you have the ability to take thoughts. Yes. Do you see that? Well, how do you take thoughts, Pastor? How do I take thoughts? Well, as you go down a little bit further, go to 31, it tells you how your thought is taken. That same chapter, same.
Therefore, take no thought, saying.
Ah. You take the thought when you say the thought. You own the thought when you say it. Guess that. All these fears is running through your mind. You don't have to take it until you start saying it. That set me free. And it also showed me how to limit the fear that come into my life. Why? Because just because a fearful thought comes into my mind, I don't have to receive it. Matter of fact, I get to talk to it and say, get out of my head. That's not even true. That can't happen. So when I talk to it, I talk against the thought. Versus, oh, my God, you know there's a recession. You know they're laying off. Or, you know, I mean, all these things that run through our mind, when we start saying them, now they become our thoughts. And now we're having to deal with these thoughts of ours, especially if they're contradictory to the word. All right? Now we got these words. We're talking about the power of our words. We're talking about this these past few Sundays. And so we got to be careful what we say, and that's why we got to get the mind of Christ. Does that help you a little bit? And we got a little bit more, and we're almost done. Go to John chapter 14. Is that where we're at? No, yep. We're in Matthew, weren't we? John 14, 1. 14, mm-hmm. 1 through 3.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Very good. The only thing I really want to talk about in this verse is verse 1, but I normally just don't ever read verse 1. I always at least go to verse 3. It's so comforting to hear these words from the mouth of Jesus. But notice he says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Again, giving us the sure assurance that we are in control of what troubles our heart. We are in control of what troubles our heart. So we get to take the reins over our heart and not let it be troubled, even in troubled times. No, I'm not going to let it be troubled. I'm going to console my heart. I'm going to comfort my heart. I'm going to hold my heart. I will not. See, you need to know in times of trouble, we need to inoculate our hearts against trouble. We need to do what's necessary to keep our hearts from. Go read scriptures that are contradictory to what you're troubled about. Listen to what Jesus said about what you're troubled about and how he's already whooped it. You got to inoculate yourself to trouble. Wow, that's how you keep yourself. You don't sit up here and try to just grunt it away and think it away. I will not be troubled. I will not be troubled. I will not be troubled. That don't work, y'all. That don't do it. That don't work. Pastor say, don't let my mind be troubled. I will not be troubled. I will not be troubled. That don't work. That don't work. But what does work is going to the words of Jesus and receiving what he says, knowing you have full assurance that he's done exactly what he said. Amen? So he said, let not my heart be troubled. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be troubled concerning this issue. Matter of fact, I come to you with it right now, and I give it to you. I mean, that's how you keep your heart from being troubled. Amen? Does that bless anybody?
Yes, sir.
Now, Isaiah 43 is going to be good. And I want to get through these next few verses so I can hear some of your comments, and let's see what the Lord or the Holy Spirit sharing with you as you hear these verses. Notice Isaiah 43, verse 19. Notice what it says. Read.
Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Wow. Read that one more time, please.
Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Now the Lord is saying, look, I'm doing a new thing. I know you're in the middle of something that you've seen before. You've seen other folks go through it, and it looks scary to you. It looks petrifying to you. It makes you feel uncomfortable. But look at your neighbor and say, he's doing a new thing. And he's doing a new thing in us. Can we trust God to do something new in us? Some of us don't know how, but we got to get to that place where we trust God to do something new in us. He wants to do something new. So maybe we've never experienced this breakthrough he wants to give us, but God wants to take you through this breakthrough. Let him do a new thing in you. I never had breakthrough. I just don't know if I can have. Yes, you can have it. He wants to do a new thing in us. He wants to bring deliverance to us. I've never been delivered in this area. God wants to do a new thing in you. Let him deliver you in that area. Behold, I do a new thing. Whatever you've not gone through before with the Lord, it can still be done. Why? Because he said, I want to do something new in you. Behold, I want to do something new in you. Now, this is what he says. I'm going to show you what's going on. Now, I'm telling you to do it. Will you not know it? Will you not perceive it? Will you not notice what's going on with you? Then he goes on to say, watch this. I will even make a way, what?
In the wilderness.
I will make a way in the wilderness. If you look at it, he literally saying, I'm going to make a highway where there's no highway. Yeah. They walk out into the wilderness. The thing about the wilderness, there's no path. Wilderness, tumbleweeds, just nothing. It's just, you don't know what way to go. It's like, I'm lost. I don't know what way to go. At least if I could see a path, I could probably find my way out here. It's the wilderness. Nobody travels out here. Nobody, you don't know what way to go. Somebody just dropped you out of a plane or something. You're like, I don't even see my footsteps and how I got here. I don't even know how to get back. That's the wilderness. There's no path. But he says, I will make a way or a path where there are no paths. I'm going to make a path for you. Yes, I know you're not used to seeing a way, but I'll make a path where there's not been a path. Shall you not know it? Will you not perceive it? You got to be willing to receive what he wants to do. Look, I'll even make, watch this, rivers in a desert. Are you hearing me? That don't even make sense. Deserts don't have rivers. But it's a new thing. Jesus said, I want to do a new thing. What I want to do is change your desert from being a desert to be a place where rivers can flow. But can he do something new in us? Can we trust him to do something new? Will you not perceive it? Will you not heed to it? Will you not give heed to it? And this is the thing about it. He said, do you not perceive and know it? See, because it's up to us to perceive it. It's up to us to walk in the knowledge of it. And will you not give heed to it? You got to be willing to give heed to the Lord doing this thing in you. Does that help you a little bit? 1 John 5, 4.
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Now, that's shouting ground there, y'all. Notice he says, now, for whatever is born of God. Now, that's... For what, and he said, whatsoever in the King James, whatsoever is born of God, and not just whosoever, but whatsoever. So this can, it's, at one time I said, well, Lord, you're talking about people. But he said, I'm not even just talking about people, but I'm talking about whatever I create, whatever I create, whether it's a person, whether it's a place, whether it's an establishment, whatever it is that's born from me and what I'm doing, right, it overcomes. It always overcomes what's not like me. And that's the world. The world is not like God. That's the world. I mean, if whatever's not like God, that's the world. That's the definition of the world. What is the world? Whatever's not like God. Whatever is born of God overcomes whatever's not like God. That's why whatever's not like God don't like those of us that are born. You don't have to do nothing to them. All you got to do is show up. Okay. Have you figured that out yet? Why they don't like me? Because you're born of God. And they're not supposed to like you. But guess what? You overcome everything they're about.
That's right.
And whatever they're trying to do, you overcome it. Before they even do it, you've already overcome it. I got to see what they're going to do. No, you don't. You just got to know I'm overcoming whatever they do. Whatever they come up with, whatever they pull out, it don't matter. I'm going to overcome it. Are you hearing me, somebody? Now, how do you overcome it? This is the end of this verse tells you how.
Our faith.
This is the victory that has overcome the things that's not like God. Me seeing what they do? No. Me figuring it out? No.
Definitely not.
My faith. Our faith is what overcomes the world. It's our faith. As long as you keep faith in what Jesus Christ taught, said, and did, it's going to always overcome what the world does. The world cannot overcome you. You're going to always overcome it.
Amen.
You're going to always. We're going to always overcome what the world does. Does that make sense to you? Does that encourage your heart? So 1 Peter 5 and 8, and then we can flip it around and just listen to how this blesses you.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
And read the Amplified in that too.
Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour.
Wow. So notice what he says here. Be well balanced. Well balanced. Man, if we as Christians can learn how to do that, be well balanced. Be temperate, but yet sober of mind. Be vigilant and still cautious at all times. Why? Because there's an enemy. Look at your neighbor and say, we have an enemy.
We have an enemy.
There's an enemy, and he's roaming like a lion. He's not a lion. He's roaming. He has tendencies like a lion, but he's not a lion. He's roaring like a lion in fierce hunger. And the thing that lions are known for with their roar is they could a lot of times petrify their prey with their roar. They're so scared. They run the wrong way. When they should have zigged, they zagged. When they should have went left, they went right. And it's just that roar. I mean, they're just scared, and you just don't think well when you're in fear. And they just swat them hind feet, and that's over. They got them, and they seize them. But notice it said they're seeking someone to seize. They're seeking someone who they may devour. It didn't say that they didn't say that they're devouring everyone that they find. See, that's why I said that our enemy is not a lion, because I'm here to tell you, if a lion finds you out there in the wilderness, there's not 5 out of 8, you know, or maybe 2 out of 3, or no, everyone he finds out there. They don't have a double odd six or whatever you shoot lines with. Hurry up, yeah. he might be hungry with a few of y'all, but he won't be hungry with a lot of us. A lot of us might be a nice meal for him. Some of us, he might be a nice little appetizer on his way to somebody else. But I'm here to tell you, lions eat everything, or they at least kill everything they run in contact with. The devil is not authorized to kill everything he come in contact with. He's not authorized. So that lets me know there's somebody he don't get to kill. There's somebody he don't get to intimidate. There's somebody that he don't get to devour. Glory to God. I wonder who those somebodies must be. Glory to God. In your mind, in your heart, you need to say, I'm one of them. Hallelujah. One of those blood-bought, believing, spirit-filled Christians that believe what Jesus Christ taught, said, and did. May not have it all together, but he had it all together enough for all of us, didn't he? And because of that, he don't get to do what he wants to do with us. Does that bless anybody? If you could just elevate your hands and just praise God for that. Lord, we just thank you. That Lord God, we thank you that the enemy don't get to devour everybody he come in contact with. And Lord, we're not sitting up here intimidated by what the devil going to do or what the devil said or what the devil did. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that we're able to use the devil's attacks as, Lord God, calisthenics, Lord God, to get us in shape for what you called us to do, God. We thank you, Lord God. We use what the devil did to us as stepping stones, to help us step up above what we was in, Lord God. And thank you, Jesus, for blessing us to the place where what the enemy does gives us something to walk on, hallelujah, to where we're called to go. In Jesus' name, we bless you for that. Amen. Isn't it good to know that in some cases that what the enemy uses against you, you actually use to walk on to get to where you God's calling you to? The attack the enemy actually launches on you because you know in whom you believe, gives you something to step back up on so that you're in a place now more secure, more higher than what you were because Amen. The enemy had the audacity to attack somebody that trusted in the Lord. And God would turn what the enemy meant for evil. Somebody say, turn it around. Yeah, he would turn it around for your good. So, saints, don't be worried about attacks. Because they're going to come. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us to pray for those in whom they come through because sometimes the enemy uses people. Well-meaning people, but he uses them. And we don't have to let them people be our enemy. The enemy's using them. Bless them. They despitefully use us. They curse us. Amen? Now, let's get some feedback. And matter of fact, Brother Rob, just point your hand toward Brother Rob. Brother Rob wasn't feeling good. Hallelujah. Just point your hand. Lord, we just thank you for Brother Rob. We just lift him up right now. He done went through physical therapy. They done poked on him and prodded on him and pushed him and everything else and got him all sore and stuff. But God, we just ask that you just rejuvenate his body in Jesus' name. God, we just ask that you would just do something special in him in Jesus' name to cause him to just be energized, oh God, that only the Spirit can do in Jesus' name. We thank you for him. We lift you up, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, not just him, but there's other folks who may be tired in their body, God. But we just ask you right now that you would just do something new and supernatural in him in Jesus' name and in them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Where's the microphone? Hallelujah. Okay. Who has comments on something that was said tonight that maybe we can get some comments? We want to listen to them and see what did the Holy Spirit say to you while we were speaking to you on some of these scriptures in the comments. I got a comment in the back. Amen. Hallelujah.
What was spoken to me was how our thoughts are not our own. Mm-hmm. You know how you get a million things racing through your mind? Mm-hmm. But until you speak that thing,
hallelujah.
You receive it.
Amen.
So that kind of touched me because, you know, that was revealed to me that, you know, when you think all that, the stuff that try to come through there, when I speak that stuff, that's when
it's yours.
Means that I acknowledge that I have accepted what I have thought.
Amen.
So that brought a little light to me.
That's
to
good.
Heed to what I'm thinking.
That's it. That's
that
it.
It's not mine.
So that's it.
Just listen to the Lord.
That's so true. And then you have the right to speak against some of the things that run to your mind. Get out of my head.
Yeah, get
out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to run out your mind. Get out of there. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but somebody said you can't stop it from building a nest. So a bird don't want to build a nest on my head, but some of y'all that got hair, maybe that might be an issue. So, all right, who else got a comment? Okay, yes, we got this lovely lady here. Mother Mamie.
I thought about the fact that sometimes how we can get into trouble, you know, the Lord still has laws, and it's getting out of the sheepfold. You know, if I'm under this umbrella from my sisters and my brothers, then you have this anointing that is much stronger. Mm-hmm. But if I decide just to go off by myself, that's when Satan wants to come and break a leg. He might not completely kill me, but, you know, he wants to show you where you belong. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to look back at what he has done for you, how many times he's brought you through the things that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times he's brought you through things, and he's going to do this too. You just
Hallelujah.
Know that you have that faith to believe that thing, that substance that you can't see.
Yes.
And that's why I want to stay in the sheepfold.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's what overcomes the world, our faith. Amen. That's very good. Good comment. Next. We need some representation from Detroit somewhere, so y'all.
I was just going to say, Pastor Will, that the fact that you emphasize, you know, that Jesus said, you know, in this life, there's going to be tribulation. And, you know, in the Spirit-filled camp, I was making that joke about binding, and we somehow there's been an erroneous teaching that, you know, hey, if I do enough spiritual warfare that nothing it's going to come into my life. And so the good thing about you emphasizing that, it wasn't like you're saying, okay, I want trouble to come.
No,
not like, you know, not like I got a, you know, a black cloud over my head and that trouble, you know, is just part of my Christian life. You know how some people say, the woe is me and this is the burden I'm bearing. Not that.
No.
But the balance sheet, you know, recognize, and the Holy Spirit will teach you what's the enemy where you can, where warfare is needed, but just walking through this life, Jesus said, hey, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. He, you know, I mean, he painted, hey, here's what's going to happen to the Son of Man. But he wasn't saying, oh, look at all the troubles that I have, and, you know, and oh, woe is me. You know, no, he was still, even in telling what was going to happen, he gave the overcoming speech. And then he said, hey, then the Son of Man will rise.
Amen.
You know, so even when tribulation comes, as you were saying, I was saying, oh, wait a minute. The fact, like I said, it becomes a stepping stone for victory.
Yes.
It's like, hey, the devil has the audacity to bring this trouble into my life. He doesn't know, but he's helping me graduate.
Amen.
He's helping me grow.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you just think about this, to tell the devil, thank you for helping me with my growth. Matter of fact, it's like one time back you said, like where it says in Romans 8:28, you're working for my good. Say, yeah, just keep working. Yeah,
amen.
That's right. Matter of fact, trouble, just go ahead and just work for me. Matter of fact, you're on the clock right now.
That's it.
You're working. Just keep working for my good. That's matter of fact, go in and put in a double shift.
Yeah. Amen. Just for me. Hallelujah. 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 Keep on working on my behalf. Amen.
Two things.
Amen.
Like Pastor Rod was just talking about, well, what you were saying about all the scriptures tell us that we have a choice in how we handle the tribulations that we are going to have. And I thought about this story. I was seeing it where it was a animal that was thrown down into like a burial. They had dug a hole and threw him into this, he was alive though, and threw this hole to bury him, and they were throwing dirt in, and every time they threw the dirt in, he would just stand on top of, pack it down, pack it down, shake it off and pack it down, until as they were throwing it in, every time he packed it down, he stepped up on what he was packing, and he was able to walk up out of the burial site. So I'm just saying, we don't have to go under. Mm-hmm. that we are overcomers, Amen. But we have to choose to overcome.
That's
and
good.
Then the scripture, which is kind of funny to me as I was looking at it up there, it was 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even to this you were called, it is inseparable from your vocation. But it says, we've been called to tribulation is yes. inseparable from our vocation. But sometimes we think it's a vacation that we've been called to.
We want to make it a vacation.
And not a vocation.
But not so.
So we don't think these things are supposed to be happening. And so when they do start happening, it's like, why is this happening? The devil, this and the devil, that. But this is just the life that we've been called to.
Amen.
It's our vocation.
Amen. Very good. She represented Cooley High. Praise the Lord. Glory to God in Detroit. Little birdie told me about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we got somebody over here.
You know, the Bible tells us to rejoice and find joy when various trials and tribulation comes against us. In Matthew, it says, when they revile and persecute you and say all manners of evil against you, to rejoice and be exceedingly glad.
Yeah.
And John 16:33, Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
Amen.
You know, so when we going through stuff, we need to focus on what the Lord has already brought us out of,
Amen.
What he done already did for us.
Yes.
We have many of victories, like Pastor has said, like David, he had the lion and the bear. We all done had many of victories
Amen.
That we could rely on and say, Lord, I remember when this looked like hopeless,
yeah.
like this looked like impossible.
Yeah.
And I remember when you brought me out.
Glory.
And that's where we find that joy. That's why we get to rejoice. That's
Amen.
Where that re comes
uh-huh.
because we remember
hey.
What he done already did for
yeah.
us.
Yes.
So just remember when you're going through that trial and tribulation, when it looks hard, when it looks like it's no way out,
uh-huh.
when it looks like it's no path.
Yeah.
When it looked like you're in that dry place and it's a desert, remember what the Lord has already done
already
for you
done. Yeah.
and say, oh, devil, you a lie. I remember when the Lord
Ooh.
Brought me out of this.
Glory.
And the victory. And speak those things
speak
and remember
things.
The victory so you can find joy in the middle of it.
Amen. Look at that preacher preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, we got somebody over here. Amen. Hiding in plain sight. Glory to God.
Well, I was thinking when Vaughn was saying that the Lord was just putting it in my heart with that because we're already in a church that's word filled and we already have the love of Christ, the love of God, and we know his ways and we know everything that he needs us to do. And we're just speaking it and knowing those victories that are won.
Yes.
And we just dwell on that. And regardless, all that stuff that we have when we're on our jobs or we're at the store, we're going, taking our kids to school, people will see because I experienced something this week. I was at work and I just had noticed myself like, because it's so much working around people and medication.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all different types of needs. So at this time, I was at my desk. I had just been plugging into YouTube. I was listening to Pastor Scales, different sermon, and just everything. You know, I was just going back, Unity Christian, back, way back to listening, you know, to keep myself, you know, happy and all keeping your mind on all the things of Christ and
Amen.
Everything. So the situation came up to where a lady was like, y'all, I just don't know. She's a spirit-filled lady. I just don't know. A demon was in my house and basically told me I'm not getting out unless I'm taking something with me. I said, well, oh, no, ma'am. I said, the Lord said you got power. I was like, cast that devil out and tell him, oh, you finna get out of here and you finna take the Holy Spirit with you. And I'm having to have peace in my house. And the Lord was just like, you know, if we keep our minds on Christ and we keep on the things that are good and happy and those things that are of above,
yes.
then whatever we have and we're knowing that whatever tribulation that we're going through and we know that we have the victory in it, God's already taking care of us.
Amen.
Right now, since he's taking care of us, we just need to keep thinking on those things and let that overflow. So people out there in the world that are going to church, that are professing, that they're Christians, they'll be able to see our life that we're winning victory over victory
Amen.
Over victory.
Amen.
And then they're just like, oh, okay, well, I see what's going on with you. Why are you like this? And you can explain to them, this is how I've been doing it with God. This is what he's been showing me and everything.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's so important. Did that bless everybody? Amen. All of your comments have blessed us. It's at 8 o'clock, y'all. So, but this has been so wonderful. It's so encouraging to know that Jesus has given us what we need to be able to go through. Now, what we have to do is to arm ourselves and just prepare yourself. Look, I mean, I'm not going to allow myself to be troubled just because I'm going through some trouble. Matter of fact, the psalmist say, yea, though I walk through the valley. But you got to go. You got to go. You don't get to turn around. You got to walk through it. If you have to, run through it. But you got to go through it. But guess what? We are able to.
This has been the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. Thank you, God bless, and have a great week.